It's 4:59.
It was confusing. I get it.
Spotify first.
It's always Spotify's fault. It's the Hardline. Happy Thursday to you. It's a short show. 60 more minutes of the Hardline, which will include the rant revival and a look at today's tremendous first day of Ranger baseball.
Ugh.
But first, we stopped out for that.
Burn it down.
Entertainment news for you.
Which is brought to you by... Oh, no.
Oh, no, man. All Pro Foundation repair.
There you go. All Pro.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he is.
Dave.
Dave.
Thank you. And we are joined, because it is a Thursday, for the Rant Revival pregame show, E! News with Gordon Keith.
Yeah, and this is a big Rant Revival. This is a big Thursday because this is my triumphant return to Twitch after having a couple weeks off.
So wow. Are you nervous?
Tonight, 7:35, twitch.tv/actualGordonKeith, special guest. I'm going to drop some ticket lore on you, some ticket history on you. It's going to be fun.
All right.
How was your sabbatical?
It was great.
Good.
I stayed home and plowed through old tapes.
All right, good.
Boy,
at least you were productive.
And
I found the original Lobster Claw, a very high quality copy of the original Lobster Claw conversation.
Okay.
I'm very excited. I'm also excited about what you sent me. That was very delightful.
Yes. I sent Bob a little bit of a clip of Norm on KLIF calling for the three of us to be fired for our JFK Jr. plane crash.
That exists?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Dude!
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to have to revisit that at some point.
At the time of our choosing, we will.
Incredible. Yeah, my wife is watching that show, Love Story, about JFK and...
Why?
What's her name? Carolyn Bessette.
Is Bessette just getting the raw end of the deal here? Because every story I see about her makes her sound like a nightmare. I don't know what that series
does
to her.
I think she is. And then Daryl Hannah took it in the shorts, too, being portrayed as someone that she absolutely was not at the time. Like, it's...
like a very clingy, vapid Hollywood stereotype.
Right, and the writers have even said, we really didn't go check any sources. We just kind of made it up on the fly, and sorry. Not sorry. Hmm. It's really weird.
Sounds like Bob's Cowboys coverage.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, he just does no research.
Yeah.
He's just not a nerd about it.
All right, to lead off E! News today, the first of a two-part interview aired on the Today Show this morning. Savannah Guthrie's first appearance on the show since her mom, Nancy, was kidnapped. Gosh, now 2 months ago?
Yeah.
And so her co-host Hoda was the one doing the interviewing, and
from Game of Thrones,
not Hodor.
It's Hodor, sir.
Would that be a weird interview? Hodor.
Oh,
Hodor. Interviewed Savannah Guthrie.
And it was like a 15-minute interview, and it's extremely heartbreaking because. Because she blames herself, and here's a little bit of what she had to say.
That would make sense, but we don't know. But yeah, that's probably, which is too much to bear.
Okay, wait. There's no context here.
Well, I said she blames herself, and I wasn't sure where he joined it. But yes, okay. So,
well, now he can play it. He can play it. That's fine. All I'm saying is in the interview. She referenced her brother who was in the military calling her and saying, this has got to be a ransom. And then she says to the brother, do you think it's because of me? And then go ahead and play.
To think that I brought this to her bedside, that it's because of me. And I just say, I'm so sorry, Mommy. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to my sister and my brother and my kids and my nephew and Tommy and my brother-in-law. I'm like, so sorry. I'm so sorry. If it is me, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
God.
Because the only thing that they could think of is that they're motivated by money. That is, this is a ransom opportunity. And it turns out that's what it was, because they did get two ransom notes that she claims, or she says, were legitimate among all of the copycat ransom notes that she got. And she also said that she was very relieved. She and her family were very relieved when they were able to recover the footage from the Ring doorbell, because there were so many conspiracy theories that, well, surely the family's involved. That this is, you know, something that they're doing for publicity or whatever the ridiculous motivation might be. She was like, it was pain upon pain. She's like, I don't understand. I will never understand. No one took better care of my mom than my sister and brother-in-law. No one protected my mom better than my brother. And, you know, she's our shining light. She's all we have. So
Gordon, don't you agree? These knuckleheads, they took her. There was going to be a ransom involved, and she died. Either they killed her accidentally, or she died because she needed her medicine, and then they disposed of the body in Skip Town.
Well, I choose to have hope.
Oh, okay.
So let's not go with the scenario you just painted.
I apologize once again to High Horse Gordon, who got me.
Do you want to go ahead and speculate as to how they killed her and
no,
what
I
were
do
her
not.
Last words and all that?
I do
okay,
not.
Okay, cool. Mm.
Cool.
Yeah. They were just holding her pill bottle out in front of her.
Okay,
like,
you know,
don't you want this?
Give me that.
Let's just be sensitive as we can here.
Agreed.
Yeah, so part two.
This is heartbreaking.
Part two will be tomorrow. I'm not sure what else they'll cover. And they're kind of setting the stage for her to potentially return to the show before this case is even resolved, which I don't know how you could do that, but we'll
I
see.
Don't know how you do that either.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be an awkward watch to hear her,
especially
watch
if they're
doing a light cooking session.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you pound the chicken like this? Oh, I'm getting salmonella everywhere.
It is such a ridiculous fake happy show. You always have to be happy.
Yeah,
right.
It's a morning show. You
right.
got to keep it light,
like Gordon.
And now it's a morning show.
Oh,
different spelling.
My God. Another
His
elderly
horse grew another 2 inches.
Another elderly that we are keeping an eye on because they are elderly is Sir Paul McCartney.
Hell yeah.
Uh-oh.
Your hero, Gordon.
No, we're not keeping an eye on him because of that. We're just keeping an eye on him, and he released a record.
Yes. Well,
okay.
The record's not out yet. It will be out on May 29th, but he has released a single. So the album is entitled The Boys of Dungeon Lane. It will be his 18th studio album, first in over 5 years. And so as he's getting up there in years, he's being nostalgic and he's thinking about his childhood in Liverpool and the days before the Beatles became famous. And he says that Forthland Road is the street that I lived on, and Dungeon Lane is near there. And so this is just one of his neighborhood haunts, and he's thinking about how they didn't have much, but everybody around was great, and you didn't notice that you didn't have much because everyone was in the same boat.
Right.
And so the single that he released today is called Days We Left Behind, and it's the memories of that time. And his voice is sounding pretty frail, but also
it's got a warble.
It's also very tender. So see what Gordon, the biggest critic in the world, but also the biggest fan of Paul McCartney in the world, has to say about this.
Stop.
Looking back at white and black, reminders of my past. Smoky bars and cheap guitars. But nothing built to last. Nothing ever stays. Nothing comes to mind. No one can erase the days we left behind.
I listened to this twice this morning. I think it's great.
I mean, it's pretty consistent throughout. There's
not
a big change or a big finish. It's
right.
It's more or less this the whole time.
They don't
time.
Break out like the triple.
There's not a drop.
No.
But it does remind me of Gordon's old woman at church singing hymns.
Okay.
I was thinking Mushmouth might cover this.
The country way. Oh, today we have Becky.
It's fine.
I think it's fine.
His voice
too.
Has changed. The guy is in his 80s.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He's still prolific. He's still writing stuff.
I made the mistake.
And I love the fact, excuse me, Corby, I'm speaking.
You're fine.
God, his high horse just grew again.
I know, it's unreal.
I love the fact, because I went and saw him this last time he came through here, and the guy doesn't use auto-tune. He doesn't use tracks, you know, to... He's not like, oh, man, my voice doesn't sound right, so I need to give the fans what they're used to. No, he plays it honest, and I love that about him. Let us see him age.
I agree.
You know, that's fine.
And back in my younger days when I would have looked at this completely differently, which I did, I made a horrible mistake on the air one time when the Rick Rubin, Johnny Cash album came out. And Johnny sounded way worse, way more frail and feeble than Sir Paul does here.
And you ripped it?
Yeah, I was like, why would he, because in my head, I'm like, why would they subject, what? He doesn't need to be singing right now. He sounds like he's about to die. And I was just looking at it like, why are they making this old guy go out there and do this?
And it's a classic album.
Yes, it is.
That Hurt is still a huge song for Johnny Cash.
It's part of his life and his lore and his legacy, and this is part of Sir Paul's. And I think it's a great song. I really do.
Well, some more music nostalgia that relates to Dallas. As just last week, the old 97s played at Sons of Herman Hall, where they have played probably dozens of times.
Yeah, it was the CD release party, or one of the first shows they ever had was at Sons of Herman. They opened up for Wilco there. Their release party for Too Far to Care was there.
Yes, so they are currently, they're working on their...
I think that's the oldest place in Dallas, like the oldest bar in Dallas.
Dude, it's one of them, yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. I was there at that show the other night. It was fabulous.
Sons of Herman Hall now.
I do have a P1 report, by the way, about Corby.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Hold on for that. So... Old 97s are recording their 15th album right now, and so it's kind of a full circle thing. They're producing a documentary, as yet untitled documentary, or maybe untitled is the title of the documentary.
It's really weird to be in front of a camera at all times.
Yeah, and so they are filming their sessions working on this new album, but then they also filmed... last week at Sons of Herman as they played two sets of Too Far to Care, their big breakout record.
30-year anniversary.
Yeah, and so that will be part of this as well, as they're trying to get some hero takes of those legendary songs from their giant record from 30 years ago. And Wolanski was there as kind of an MC of sorts.
Yep, he gave the intro to both sessions.
Yeah, and so he reminded everyone, he said, do not take pictures, do not record, do not use your Radio Shack recorder to bootleg. Just do what we did in 1995, drink a beer, stand in Sons of Herman Hall, and enjoy your favorite band. And so that's what everyone did. And Corby was there, and I have an eyewitness report from P1 Yale. He says that Corby tried to cut the entire line, but then sheepishly had to go back in line and join a friend that was already in line, so he only partially cut the line.
All right, that is such crap.
That is typical Corby.
My friends,
that is your signature move.
Yeah, my friends were at the front of the line. I walk up, give him a big high five and a big hug, and then my buddy that I was going with was back of the line. I was like, there he is. I'll be back.
Uh-huh.
That was it.
Uh-huh.
Tried to cut the line.
And then when it was time to scan tickets, Country Club Corby says, I'm on some sort of list.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe I need a ticket.
Just check again. And then get your manager.
I did say that because I wasn't. They can put me on the list. What am I supposed to do? I don't have a ticket,
but yeah,
I'm on a list.
Yale, P1 Yale says you were a great sport and you took a picture with him. So
that's true.
He's just trying to bust your balls.
Okay.
So, but yes, congratulations to the 97s for all their success.
Anything about Corby setting up his recording equipment?
Yeah, did you do a bootleg when you weren't supposed to?
No, but Wolanski cracked me up because for those of a certain age, he referenced the bootlegging on What's Happening of the Doobie Brothers show with Rerun. Remember when he dropped the cassette
Absolutely.
Player? Yeah. He referenced that. Gordon, do you not remember that?
What?
God.
You did what?
Idiots. On the show What's Happening, Rerun was in the front row of the Doobie Brothers show, and he brought in like this giant cassette player to record it. And he
Rerun
dropped...
was a Doobie Brothers fan?
Yeah, he was.
Did they get the Doobie Brothers to guest on the show?
Yeah, believe, they did.
I believe that's when the famous quote happened of, what doobie you be?
All right, let's come back and do the rant revival next. 3 minutes. And the rant. Hi.
I'm having a tough day.
That's okay.
It's the rants featuring Gen X Davey, Corby the Snake Davidson, and your host and creator, not your creator, the creator of the rant, Gordon.
Well, we don't know. Brought to you by.
He's probably not your creator.
Eatsy's Market and Bakery.
Thank you, Jay, very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is a story. If I could preface this real quick here, Gordon,
why do you have to preface it?
Well, because we haven't got to this story yet, and everybody else has, and we've been waiting patiently to do it this segment.
Yes, because we knew that you have already touched on this on the Musers, and because it's right up your alley, we figured you had read everything possible about it and that you would be the perfect person to bring us up to speed about the quad amp cornhole murderer.
Okay, I've never heard this term before. What is quad amp?
Quadruple amputee. We've shortened it to save time and money. Quad amp.
And to make you more comfortable.
Well, a Maryland man who is a quadruple amputee cornhole champion. He's in trouble. He's 27 years of age. And he got famous because of his remarkable ability to play cornhole, despite the fact that he has 4 complete nubs.
Mm-hmm. How long are each nub?
Or 4 non-complete appendages, however you want to look at it.
How would you
half
estimate
nubs rather than half?
How would you estimate the length of the nubs?
The nubs appear to be like his legs are mid-thigh, I believe, mid-thigh nubs, and his arms look like they're elbow nubs.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So half. So does he throw a bag using, like, pinching the bag between his elbows and chunking it that way?
He does, and it's a very...
I think he pinches it, between his arm nubs.
It's a violent move because cornhole is a dainty sport when you see the delicate underhanded toss by the ones that have all their arms and legs.
Put his whole body into it.
Yes, he puts everything into it. And I believe that he fouls every time he does it, but they've granted him some sort of mercy rule where they don't penalize him for jumping over the line.
His follow through takes him past the line every time.
Yeah.
And I have a question about that. Like, how did the inventor of cornhole. Who was that guy? Naismith? He invented
cornhole?
That was basketball. Jim Korn is the one who did that. Played quarterback for the Seahawks, too.
When they're inventing cornhole in the 1880s,
thank you.
How did they think far enough ahead to say, hey, we need to put in a rule
if you're a quad amp, you can fault.
You can fall.
No. Yeah. No, the rule wasn't in there until he joined the fray.
Oh.
Yeah.
It didn't go back to the 1880s.
It wasn't on the original scrolls.
The papyrus?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Constitutional Congress didn't actually cover that.
Do we know why he was amputated all 4? Was this when he was a child?
Yes, he had an infection.
It's actually a very... very sad story, David.
Thank you for asking, Dave.
When he was 10 months old, I think that's right. Yeah, 10 months old, he suffered a blood infection. And it really rocked the professional cornhole community.
He wasn't a cornholer
at 10 months old. He was a prodigy.
And they started a fund for him.
And so he had this blood infection, and the doctors come in, they rush in and tell his parents that they need to amputate his arms and legs to slow the infection. And they told his parents that he only had a 3% chance that he'd
grow his arms
survive
back
long enough to kill another human being.
He's not a salamander, Dave. You idiot.
Dave thought he could regrow them.
Yeah. Yes, and he lived.
Well,
clearly.
To be fair, you don't know.
I mean,
you assume that he can't regrow them, but he could have been the exception.
It's like on The Walking Dead when you get bit by a zombie, they have to chop your arm off so the infection doesn't spread and turn you into a zombie.
Right.
It's a great exactly parallel like right there.
And when he was 10 months old, he spent 4 months in the hospital. So that goes to show you how difficult this is. I mean, think about that. He's 10 months old and spends 4 months in there.
So
within the period
is that,
of his
is that when
month.
He learned cornhole, like during his rehab?
Again,
it was
babies,
part of the play therapy.
Full on armed and legged babies can't play cornhole, Dave.
I'm going to try when I get home.
Okay.
So that actually is a very sad part of the story, but it also is the pretext for why he became a hero, because he knew that the most impressive thing that he could do to show all the naysayers out there.
Let a naysayer know.
Yeah, he was going to let all the naysayers know that just because you are quad amped up, you can still conquer the most difficult of all sports.
Well,
and so that's why he set his sights on cornhole.
He thought
he
about the NFL
every day
and then decided to pivot to cornhole.
Right. And he got good. He played professionally. And there were a lot of, you know, those human interest stories and hero stories with the piano in the background, you know, them profiling him about how he overcame his cornhole difficulties to become great at nubbing a beanbag across the lawn.
Okay, so do we know how great he actually was? When you say pro, I don't know what that actually means. Was he competing at the highest level of this sport? Was he going bar to bar in local towns?
No, they have tournaments.
Okay,
there are professional cornhole tournaments.
I know ESPN did a story on him because it was so impressive. Like, it's legit. Okay.
Like, so is he in the quad amp division?
No, Dave, he's...
No, there's only one quad amp.
He just keeps winning.
He's like the Babe Ruth.
Although, I mean, in the Paralympics, I would think he would absolutely dominate.
Yeah.
Because if he's a champion in the fully armed division,
but
I would think would be a champion there too.
I don't want to.
Would he also be good at like curling? Has he ever tried like a winter
curling?
No, winter sport.
Oh.
Like when cornhole's out of season.
Like as the stone?
Why would cornhole be out of season?
Well, they don't have it at the Olympics, first off. So that, I don't want to break your heart.
I want to go back to Gordon's guess that he's weightlifting curling.
Actually, he may be good at like the clean and jerk because he doesn't have to raise it as high.
Right.
Well, not only can he be a champion cornholer, he can also fire a handgun.
Yes.
As
he can,
we would find.
As this story proves. So he's imagine the scene. He's 27 years old. He's in Maryland with his buddies. He's got a friend in the car in the passenger seat, and they pick up two other friends. They get in the back. So this is the crazy thing. He's driving the car.
The Tesla.
Dayton James Weber is his name. Dayton is somehow nubbing the steering wheel in between the lines and getting to where they need to go.
Modified well, car.
Maybe it's self-driving. Tesla.
No, it is not.
It's not a self-driving car.
Yeah.
Old LeSabre.
The car was modified to fit him. As little people can drive, too, so, you know.
What's that supposed
to be? Not unheard of.
Yeah, Corby.
Yeah, but little people have all of their limbs.
It's true.
And they've always been able to drive, Corby.
All right, move on.
So he's driving, and this argument breaks out between him and the guy in the passenger seat. So the people in the back are listening to this.
Why isn't that guy driving?
Yeah, yeah. to me, one of the under evaluated parts of the story is why those other two people got in the back when after they looked up front and looked at the guy driving going, I don't know.
What if I drive? Let's at least I'm going to decline this ride, and I'm just going to see who the next driver is.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a ride-share deal. But so the argument breaks out, and Dayton, the cornhole amputee, he pulls out a gun.
He had his cornhole amputated?
No, shut up.
Pulls out a gun and shoots his passenger, killing him.
What kind of argument do you have to have in a car to kill someone?
While it's in motion, you're just driving, and you blow their head off.
He not only can play cornhole, but he can drive and kill people at the same time.
Okay, did you see the video of him loading weapons and being able to? Yes, like it's stunning.
It's on YouTube. You can see him loading up a 9mm and, you know, emptying a clip into a target.
Now, as a brief question on that point, do you think having a video on YouTube of you playing with guns at a very high level, do you think that helps your innocence or perhaps hurts? No.
Well, he has two eyewitnesses in the back seat.
Yeah.
Who have got
to
be...
I don't think he has a leg to stand on in this trial.
Uh-oh.
The Clydesdale just shrunk to a little mini pony.
Yeah, his high horse was just quad amped.
Yeah.
The line was too good to pass on, though.
So he shoots this guy, and then he pulls over and tells the other two people in the back, "Hey, help me get this body out of the car." Well, they refuse.
Yeah,
because
you don't
want
to be an accessory
like
to murder.
They do not like amputees.
I would have been scared to death that he was going to shoot me. I might have helped at that point. I mean, he was brave enough and brazen enough to shoot his buddy in the passenger seat?
I don't know. I don't know that they were scared of that. I mean, they may have thought he just got lucky and he can't tongue the trigger again to get off another round.
Especially in the back seat while he's driving. Imagine the difficulty of what we're asking here.
Tonguing the trigger to shoot.
So he begs them to help him get rid of the body. They say no. They hop out of the car and he takes off with the body still in the car. The two people that he let out, you know, of course, they do like probably only a 10% tip and then maybe give him 2 stars.
Right.
Maybe two.
And then they flag down a police officer, tell the officer what happens, and then they're looking for this guy.
Pretty sorry of those two friends to do that.
So is he still at large or at small?
By the way, he pulled over. he pulled over on Radio Station Road.
Vague.
Generic.
Very generic. Well, that's what it's called, Radio Station Road.
And then he disposed of the body himself?
Well, that's the thing. So then he takes off, and then a couple hours later, a resident, generic, calls up cops and says, hey, I got a body in my front yard. And cops rushed to the scene. That's where they found the victim. His name was Wells. And
oh, dear, Dave.
Oh, no.
Last name, Wells.
Oh, good.
And they find him. So somehow, the quad amputee, the guy, Dayton, was able to muscle that guy out of the car and throw him in a front yard. So he...
This guy's amazing.
Cornhole tossed him into the front yard.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Beyond murder and all that, this guy's amazing.
Has he been stripped of all his titles by the Cornhole Association?
I think that he's
been... I can't
been
believe you're praising him, Corby.
I think he's been out of the game for a while. I think he stopped professional cornholing in like 23 or 24, from what I read.
He's 27 years old. That's not too old to cornhole.
No, the year 23 or 24. I know. I don't know why he stopped it. Maybe he's became
difference.
So famous. It is. Maybe he became so famous that... he figured he didn't need it anymore. He could do other things.
So has he been arrested?
He retired on his riches.
He could have been. Yeah, he's in jail now, right?
Yeah, they eventually find his car. He ditches his car a ways away, and they located him. He was in the hospital trying to get new arms and legs put on as a disguise.
No, he was not.
As a disguise.
He's just rummaging through the hospital dumpster looking for arms and legs.
He was going to Frankenstein up some arms and legs onto him, and they would be working at everything, so it would be a really believable disguise. And then, well,
why wouldn't he have done that earlier?
Away, he would ditch him.
Huh.
He's wearing a Santa suit.
What? Why does he have... Not all quad amputees wear Santa suits. That's a wild accusation you're making there, Corby. And I hope
I don't think it's that guy. That's Santa.
Yeah, I saw it happen, and the guy that did it looked kind of like Short Santa over here in the lineup, but...
But I know Santa does nothing but good, so it can't be him. Let's rule him out.
Yeah, so Short Santa, you can go. These other guys,
Short Santa.
I think it must be that tall black guy right there. That's what I think. We're in Maryland.
We're gonna let you get out of here, Short Santa. You have a good day. We're sorry to bother you.
And then it's like Usual Suspects as he's walking down the street, right, just throwing off arms and legs.
You know, like limping away.
Cornholes falling out of his butt.
Arms and legs just a strewn.
So that's the story of the quadruple amputee cornhole champion who allegedly killed his friend in cold cornhole blood.
Yeah. Incredible. I was waiting to learn the details of that story, and it was worth the wait.
All right. Thank you, Gordon.
Tonight.
If you have a TV.
Twitch.tv/actualgordonkeith. We're going to have some fun.
All right. There you go. Thanks, Gordon. Love you, man.
Yes, sir. Love you guys. Gordon. See ya.
There he goes. Gordon Keith.